This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave, thanks, coaches. We've been talking about books. We've been talking about homeschooling. A lot of people now are binging content. So, Coach Kelly, I got to start with you. How many people have you heard from about All-American, your beautiful appearance there? I was heard. The rumor is that you ad-libbed the scene. I'm curious if it's true and if the other coaches have even watched.
I ad-libbed the line. I wouldn't say I ad-libbed the scene. I was in it for probably 35 seconds. So, but I did ad-lib the line. I had to add my own little twist to it. But it was a lot of fun. The cool part for me is the story is about Spencer Pasinger, who was my captain when I was at Oregon on a team that went to the national championship. And Pace is the producer of the show. And to get to see Spence again and how successful the show has been and what he's done. But it's a little bit about kind of his story, where he was an inner city kid that went to Beverly Hills High and got an opportunity. So it was cool to be able to be a part of it and see Spencer again.
I love that. Yeah, it was great watching and binging that. I've heard from a ton of people. I'm sure you have as well. Today's theme is about how you're motivating your student athletes during the pandemic. So, Jonathan, I want to start with you, and then we'll go around here on the first question. How are you motivating yourself during this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, one, you're missing the game so much that it's a motivation to be ready once you're able to get back. And I kind of feel motivated because we didn't have much spring practice to watch. We've been watching a bunch of our open games from the fall. And if you ain't motivated seeing those opponents we got to play again, start with these two guys. That's been a motivation for me for sure.
Coach Edwards.
I think it has a lot to do with our attitudes. And I think these two men that I'm on the screen with, these coaches, they get it. And you know, attitude is your best friend and your worst enemy. How you go about doing this, I think it's very important. The reflection that you project to your players is very important. You know, we live in a world as coaches that the unexpected is always about to happen. It has happened. How do you deal with that, right? It's like being the football coach and you make all the decisions, but once they walk on the field, you have no control, basically. You have no control of how players are going to play. You assume how they're going to play. You get to make decisions, but no control. So with that being said, I just think we understand as we walk through this minefield that we're walking through, it's important that we are excited about the opportunity whenever we decide to get back. You know, a plan that can't be changed is a bad plan. We all started out with this game plan, participating in spring ball, the recruiting, all these things. We're excited and all of a sudden we get shut down. Well, our plan has to be adjusted. And with that being said, that's the mindset of any coach. You know, you're one play away from looking at your game plan and saying, well, this don't work. I got to change it. So we all understand that, and I think our players now are focused more on the learning part of it. We've probably spent more time right now as coaches with the ability through what we're doing right now to actually teach our players. And so you're still as a coach, you're a teacher. That's what you do. You give them knowledge. Like Jonathan behind all them books that Jonathan has read, I mean, I don't know. Coach, show me your book, Coach. What? You don't have one of these yet.
Man, yeah, I got to get one, man.
That's knowledge, man. Knowledge. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Oh, I love it. Coach Kelly, other than reading that book, how have you been motivating yourself?
I think any coach is motivated every day, no matter what it is. I mean, obviously, our season starts in September. But right now we would be in the off season anyway. So it's just how you deal with what's going on. And we talk about control the controllables. So, what we control is our attitude and our mindset. We wake up every day and get excited about, you know, in a crisis, there's opportunity, and the opportunity, you know, Herm alluded to it, is we get to teach a little bit more with our players. We get to spend a little bit more time, with them, even though it's virtually, we're still spending time with them and finding out, you know, what makes them tick and how we can help them be successful. So You know, our task is different just because we're not with them and we can't, you know, be face to face with them, but it's still the same thing, is creating an environment where they have a chance to be successful. And that's what we're challenged with every day. So that's got to motivate you every day when you wake up.
I love that. I can't imagine you guys all scrolling social media all night, but I imagine your players are. And over the last week or 24 hours, pending which region all three of you live in, there's been news. So Jonathan, starting with you, how have you talked to your players and their parents about what your governor said about not having large crowds through September?
Right. You know, we've talked to them continually about this. We're always learning. It's almost like we're learning on a weekly basis. And we've talked about there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know exactly how long this tunnel is that we're in, but we're going to get opportunity to play, to get them back. And when we can get them back, we want to do it safely and properly. And so the unknown is what it is, and we're working through that. Just continue to work hard on the day-to-day because the light's at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, Coach Edwards, your governor came out and said that pro sports can come back this weekend. Wonder what parents and your student athletes are saying to you and how you're communicating in that regard.
Well, that's a whole different animal when you think about the student athlete compared to the professional football player. I mean, that's what he does for a living. So there's some choices to be made there, obviously. In our situation, you know, as Jonathan just mentioned, and Coach Kelly, I know he feels the same way. I know him. It's always about the safety of the players. These are student athletes. And with that being said, parents are involved in these decisions too. It's not just the student alone. So we can't lose sight of that. You know, parents are a big factor because it's their children. You know, even though they look like they're grown men, some of them 17, 18, 19 years old, a parent is going to be involved in a lot of this as well. So that's a part of it. They want to make sure their son is safe. We as coaches want to make sure their son is safe. The environment that we create is safe. We talk about that all the time. You know, safety is the number one priority for any coach.
Yeah. And Coach Kelly, you know, as of last night, the Cal State University statement that came out, I'm sure your phone is blowing up in that regard. How have you been able to deal with that around your players and their families?
Well, first off, we're not part of Cal State. That was a big question. I had to talk to coaches on our staff. I'm like, we're in the UC system, so we're not in the Cal State system. So, as this has gone on, and we've met as a Pac-12 group, for about the last 4 weeks, and Woody Dixon and Larry have been great keeping all the coaches informed. And what I've come to the conclusion of is that we don't know what we don't know. You know, I think the virus will tell us when we're going to be able to come back, and when it's under control and when they have the proper testing and whatnot in place. And until that time, you know, we're just going to keep planning, as Jonathan mentioned earlier, like we have a season coming up. You know, no one has told us that we're not playing. No one has told us that we are definitely playing, but, you know, we don't want to be surprised by the, hey, you guys are playing. Are you ready to go? It's like, oh, we didn't plan on this. I think all of us have put proper plans in place depending on what day they tell us to start. And right now we just take in the information as it comes, and how does it apply to us? So right now, really anything that's come out, whether it's the pro teams being able to play in Arizona or the Cal State system not having school in September, still doesn't really affect what's going on in the Pac-12. And we'll still look to Larry and his group to give us guidance.
Excellent. You know, Jonathan, you guys got this brand new weight room. I'm sure you can't wait to see it full of players, but that's not going to happen, at least in the very near future. But you guys have stayed connected in interesting ways, at least watching it online. Like, it seems like there's a blend of entertainment, education. How have you navigated that as a head coach?
Yeah, we kind of learned early on was the when we all, you know, separated, the guys missed each other the most. Like, they love ball and they want to learn it and they're doing school, but they missed the interaction. So we wanted to do some unique things to keep them engaged with each other, whether we're doing a Madden tournament and guys got just like laughs on that, trash talk going. I got blown out. That's been fun blast. We broke up in some smaller groups outside of positions just to see some different faces. Old linemen see some receivers, and we've tried to bring that as much as we can, the interaction with each other, because they're missing it the most.
Yeah. Coach Edwards, we've talked a ton about how you can't unlock potential unless you unlock people. You're a people person. You've done it your whole life. Are you worried about your players, like, on their own now? And what has that been like? Because you're so used to being with them every step of the way.
Well, I'm in direct communication with them a lot. And they check in with me also. I mean, my quarterback about every other day. I get a call from him, right? So they're always in contact with me, talking, we're visiting, whatever we're doing. On the Zoom calls, like Jonathan says, you know, I'm going to be involved in some of these meetings. I'll walk in when coaches are going and say something, you know. And I think that the unique thing about all this is that players are, you know, they're dialed in right now because they know that, as Coach Kelly said, you know, this is going to come to an end. And we don't know what the date is, but you better be ready. Mentally, they're learning ball. This is the physical part now. When this thing comes back, we got to get them ready that way. The mental part, I think we've got more time with them now in the classroom than probably you would have, because if you think about May, we'd be out recruiting and doing all that stuff. Well, we have the ability to coach now, and I think we've done a little bit of some of the former players that have been in the NFL. They're on some of these meetings.
Yeah.
Explaining things to them. You know, whether it's a play, how I ran this and what I did here, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a linebacker, whatever it be. So there has to be interaction with these guys because their whole world is they live off the screen anyway. It's called entertainment. How can you entertain them? Right?
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah, well said. Coach Kelly, we've talked a lot about same message, different messenger. Just watching online, it seems like you had some guest speakers that have come in and addressed your team. How have you felt that's remained and allowed the team to remain connected, whether it's been Damon West or other guys that have come on to your Zoom calls?
Yeah, I think our players and talking to our squad leaders, they really, really enjoy it. It's been a different one each week. You know, we have Bruin breakfast every Monday morning and we have a new speaker each week. But everybody we've had in the past, so they've already have a relationship with our players. And so it's been shorter, you know, it's a quick 10 or 15 minute message. And then we just have an open discussion and open it up and guys talk about what that meant to them and how do they interpret it. So it's a lot more give and take than it is when we've done it in the past. And our players have really enjoyed it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm gonna shift gears as we go around probably one more time here and talk about mental health. You know, how are you preparing to deal with it and or dealing with it now when your players are away and, of course, anticipating when they come home? Coach Smith, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's definitely a big topic, and it's really important. Continuing to try to stay engaged with guys as much as possible, and not just their position coach in regards to the strength staff, touching base with them once a week, or trainers that did a mental check and checking in on life. It is important because this is different, man. I mean, this experience that, shoot, even for me, being a father, it's kids of three, and there's a lot of things going on. Each kid's situation is different at home, and that's sometimes of concerning. A lot of them are in great places. So it's going to be really important as we continue through and then definitely when we get them back on campus.
Coach Edwards.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of our players about this is a moment in your life where you actually need to reflect on your life. You know, we live in this world that we live in, and you think about a player, just anybody that has a job, let's just say. Our whole life, when you grow up as a child, there's been a schedule. You're always on a schedule. Whether you go to work, it doesn't matter. Business world, football, doesn't matter. Everyone's on a schedule. Well, now all of a sudden, you don't have a schedule. It's like, you got to make your own schedule. And I challenge guys with that. I said, you know what? This is the time that you need to look at you, reflect on you. What does your schedule look like every day? And does that schedule allow you to become a better version of yourself? You have time to do that now. And when you tell them that, they look at you like, yeah, you get to set your own schedule. You always worry about, well, I'm on this schedule. People are telling me what to do. Well, guess what? We have this little bit of time with you. What are you doing? Set your own schedule. Try that one for size. People are struggling with that.
Like Coach Kelly, with so many returners that have been in the program that you've brought in since you got there, how are you preparing to manage that and managing it currently?
We get to meet with them, obviously, a couple times a week, you know, through the 8 hours that the NCAA has given us. We haven't used the full 8 hours. I know we definitely haven't used the full 8 hours on X's and O's. You know, a lot of it is just our coaches sharing with them and having conversations that are a little bit deeper than, you know, what coverage is this right now, or where are we going in this progression for our quarterbacks. But it's also really important that we have a strong group of players that are connected with the whole team. You know, when in that group of squad leaders, there's 16 of them, have done a really good job of connecting everybody. Because what you do miss, and Jonathan mentioned it earlier, is that camaraderie in the locker room, you know, just hanging out in the locker room and not talking about football, but talking about life and making sure that we can still have those connections now. It's physical distancing that we're going through right now, not social distancing. And we want to make sure that guys don't get excluded and we're not taking care of them and worried about them. It was funny yesterday, Don Pelham called and I missed a call and I'm like, did you call? And he was like, yeah, you're on my list, my wellness check. I'm checking on you. You know, and I just started laughing. I said, I'm good, Doc. And he was like, no, we need to talk, call me. And it's the same way our coaches are handling it with our players are the same way we're handling it with each other, you know, and it's part of kind of what we're going through as a group, because no one has gone through this, you know, unless you were around for the pandemic of 1980. Herm, you weren't around in the pandemic.
No, I wasn't around for that one. I'm sorry.
Okay. Unless you were around for the 1918 pandemic, you know, you've never gone through this before. So there is no game plan. You don't know how it's going to manifest itself on a daily basis. So I think that connection part, you know, it's a physical distancing that we're going through, not a social distancing. We got to make sure that socially we're connected.
That's really well said. We could talk for a long time. Before I turn it over to the rest of the media, Coach Edwards, we got to know, how can we get your book? What's the best way? I mean, clearly.
I'll take care of it. I got it working.
Okay.
Right. I'll be looking for it, man.
I'm on it.
Okay. I got you.
All right, Dave, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, thanks, Yogi. Again, any media, if you have any questions at the bottom of your screen, just select the tab where there's the raise hand. We'll get you in the queue. And first question will come from Dennis Dodds. Dennis, your line's open.
Okay. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes.
Okay. Herm, I just wanted to ask you, can you conceive of a scenario where the Pac-12 goes forward with not all of its members or not at all, given where we are right now?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, we tell players all the time to stay in your lane, know your role, do your job. That's not my role, to be quite honest. I don't have to make that decision.
Okay.
And I don't want to make that decision, to be quite honest. I really don't. I just think that the powers to be, they've done a great job of coaches, as I said earlier, Chip and Mike, of keeping us informed exactly what we're going to do as a conference. I think that's important. And these decisions, any decision they make, is going to be based on the health professionals. They're the experts. They are actually the quarterback of the teams in the Pac-12 right now. They are the quarterback. There's no doubt about it. They get to make the decision. So that's way past
okay.
My
head. Okay. Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
After two seasons, is there any part of you that in the back of your mind says, I told you so? I mean, the way this thing started, you hadn't been in coaching for a bunch of years, you know, didn't know if you're going to be in coaching for a bunch of years. Is there any part of you now that, you know, can coach a little bit? I can still do it.
You know, I grew up, I had some really good parents. And the thing they taught me at a very young age is the perception of others don't allow it to be your reality. And so I've never listened to them. I don't listen to the outside noises. I learned that at a young age. And then you learn it a whole lot when you play in Philadelphia. As a football player, right? You get that part of it. And then your first head job is in New York, dealing with the New York media. And I love the media, I do. I think they serve sports in a great way to take people behind the scenes when they can to inform the listener. But I don't pay attention to it, to be quite honest. I set my own goals in life and I bet on myself. I've always done that. I just bet on me. And I keep doing that, and then I can live with the consequences of that, whatever way it goes. So I'm good. Nah, I don't worry about that stuff. I'm too old to worry about that stuff, by the way. Maybe when I was 16, 17 years old, not anymore.
All right, we'll go next question. James Krepia. James, go ahead. Your line's open.
This question for Coach Smith. You touched on Governor Brown's remarks a bit earlier. When she was asked specifically about fans at high school and college football games, she laughed about it and gave the state health official answer. How did you feel upon hearing her reaction about college football? And while you're telling players there's light at the end of the tunnel, what's your message to Oregon State fans and the community in Corvallis, as a lot of people and businesses look forward to football, not only because they're fans, but they really rely on football in terms of their livelihoods. And if games are canceled or fan attendance is restricted or prohibited, they don't find that a laughing matter.
Yeah, you know, this game means a lot to me and, Oregonians, Oregon State fans. And there's no question that it'd be disappointing for this season to be affected. There's a chance it's going to look different. We don't know. This is something that I'm passionate about. I'm not laughing a lot about it. But I know we're always learning more and more each week. And we got some great people in this conference and leadership at Oregon State that they'll be the decision makers as we continue to move forward in unison with health officials and our government leaders, that I'm just confident that we're going to do what is best for not just Oregonians, but the Pac-12 conference as we get to a point where we're making decisions on what September, October, November look like.
And if I can ask a follow, Jonathan, has there been, to your knowledge, I realize this is really in Scott's territory, but to your knowledge, any discussion with Colorado State or Portland State about changing those games, the dates, the locations, cancellations, anything?
Yeah, you're right. That's more in the athletic director, Scott Barnes, done a great job in communicating with all our coaches here at Oregon State, but I have not been a part of any of those kind of conversations. I've been on Zoom in different position meetings and doing some recruiting.
Our next question come from Brian Howell. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, this really is for Herman. Chip, since you guys are in the South and in the NFL, it's a little – I cover Colorado, and I was curious, your thoughts on Coach Carl. I mean, kind of an unheralded hire. What are your thoughts on him?
Brian, your line was breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Go ahead.
Really, for Herman Chip, I was just curious your thoughts on Carl Durrell and any interaction you've had with him just as he comes in to coach Colorado.
You want to go, Chip? Go ahead.
Yeah, I've known Carl for a long time since he was the former head coach here at UCLA. He's got an unbelievable reputation just as a person. You know, he's a good human being, you know, and I don't know. I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Carl. He does things right. He holds people accountable. He holds himself accountable. He had an unbelievable reputation as a position coach in the National Football League. And I thought it was a great hire by Rick George. I don't get the out of the box thing. I get the he went out and hired a really good person, and I think Carl's going to do a really good job there.
Yeah, to echo what Chip has said, obviously a man of great character and integrity. I've known Carl a long time, and just to watch him grow as a coach. You know, obviously I could say this in a nice way. I remember when coaches tell me this all the time. I'm of the older ilk of coaches, and so I kind of watched him as a young coach progress and go up the food chain of becoming a head coach and all that kind of good stuff. And I've just watched him work from afar, and you couldn't get a better guy to lead to that football team.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, next question, we'll go to Mark McClune. Mark, your line is open. Are you on mute? There you go, Mark.
Sorry about that. Hey, thanks so much for the time today, guys. Appreciate it. This is for first Coach Edwards, but just for Coach Smith and Coach Kelly as well. If you were given the green light and things were to kind of go on a little longer here with social distancing, how much time do you feel like you would need to get your team ready in the training camp to play the opener?
Well, I think the least amount of time is probably 6 weeks. That's what we kind of, you know, talked about. There's some plans. Is it 10 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 7 weeks? 6 weeks would probably be right there. You'd be stretching it a little bit because you make the great point. You know, these players have to be in condition to play football. And as much as we think they're working out on their own, they're still they're not in football shape by any stretch of imagination. And the one thing you don't want to do is put players in position where they're going to get hurt.
I echo that. You know, 6 weeks feeling like that's a minimum, but doable. Again, starting with the health and safety, getting them into shape, and we want to put a good product out there. We want to have enough time to be able to play quality football.
Yeah, I think it could be done earlier if our strength and conditioning coaches could get their hands on them earlier. So if our strength and conditioning coaches had them for a couple of weeks before we got them, then I think you could do it in 4 weeks. That's what they do at the other divisions. But you need to have somebody working with them. So the working time, like Herm and Jonathan said, is 6 weeks. But, you know, if you want to say, do we want a six-week training camp, that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for our strength and conditioning coaches to be able to get them up to speed so you can minimize the soft tissue injuries and get them going. And I think there's a push for that can we have contact with our strength and conditioning coaches to get a chance just to monitor them, and that as coaches, we don't have to be involved in it, but I think they need to be involved in it because it goes back to what Kerm said, that the health and safety of our players will govern every decision that we're going to make here.
All right. Next question will come from Michael Lev. Michael, your line is open.
Hey guys, I wanted to ask you about recruiting, and this is for everybody. How have the logistical limitations this spring affected recruiting, and how do you think they might affect the composition of your class as we move forward through this thing?
Go with Herm first.
I think we've all had to adjust as coaches, and I think every staff is able to do that. And I think through technology now, whether you take kids through a virtual tour of your campus with coaches involved in it, it's been a lot of fun. Now, the other side of it is this: all these kids want to go on virtual tours. You know, they that's what they want now. And the parents are involved in it, and you kind of take them through. Coaches are on the screen, and so you're recruiting. The thing that I'm learning probably more than anything else is a lot of these young men are worried about maybe in their area there might not be high school football. So kids now are committing a little early because they might not have senior field if there's not football. Now, and I think this too, if they can't make any visits, then I want something in my hand right now to say I'm committing, and then if it opens up, then all of a sudden you're back into the recruit mode. I want to go take some visits, right? So it's kind of – that's where we're all at right now, to be quite honest.
There's no question it's been an adjustment, you know, in the virtual tours. They can't come to your campus. You're trying to bring them to them. Similar to Herm's comment there in regards to a lot of – there are high school players that are worried about being able to play their senior year and what the fall is going to look like. And, you know, we're just all having to adjust as we go through this recruiting process.
Yeah, we've just had to pivot. You know, I think the weekend that it closed down, it was probably our fourth or fifth spring practice. We had 10 kids scheduled to come in that weekend, and, you know, we shut down on that Thursday and didn't have it. So, you know, we've all had to use the technologies available to us to kind of continue to stay in front of these kids and go through the whole process. There are kids that are nervous about being able to play high school football in the fall, and understandable. Because we're not sure if we're going to play in the fall. So we all understand that. I think we're all going through it and learning at the same time. We're learning from them, and they're learning from us.
All right, your next question will come from Joe Reedy. Joe, your line is open.
Chip, just what the past 48 to 72 hours been like for you as far as, you know, talking to Dan, and don't know if you've talked to the chancellor or faculty reps in any way, just about getting more clarity with you know, state university system, but also with health director Ferrer saying that could be stay-at-home orders in LA County for the next 3 months.
Yeah. Well, the state system and the UC system are different. So when that came out last night, I think there are some people that thought that affected both Cal and us, but we're not in that system. We're in a different system. But we're still very cognizant of, you know, that decision has been made at the state level. We actually are scheduled to play San Diego State in game 3. You know, would that affect that? I really don't know, but it goes back to what we said earlier. I don't think anybody knows. And you just have to go and be very agile in terms of how you're handling this whole situation and adjust to whatever happens. And I think on a daily basis, things change and we have to be able to adjust on it. So nothing that was said in the last 24 to 48 hours directly impacts us playing games in September. But you never know. So we'll just continue to monitor it and let the experts and the medical people determine whether it's safe for our players to come back and play.
And then
all right, next question. Sorry there, Joe, cut you off. Can't get you back on here, but we'll go ahead and take the next question from Tony Siracusa. Tony, your line's open.
Hey, coaches, good afternoon. There's been a lot of talk from a lot of coaches, comments from around the country, different regions reacting differently. Yesterday, one of your colleagues suggested that the NCAA should step in and make some uniformity across the country as to what, where, when, and how everybody can start. Would you guys advocate the NCAA stepping in? And the second part of that is, do you sense the NCAA even has that kind of jurisdiction?
Well, it kind of, in my mind, it matters what you mean by start. I think that it, in a safe way, if weight rooms can be open and guys can work out on a volunteer basis, they should be able to do that. I do think there should be some uniformity when we're back to actually practicing across the board in the NCAA.
Yeah, I think every coach, regardless of what conference he's in right now, you want it to be an equal playing field. I think that's the concern of any coach, because that's just how you think. So whether they're involved in it, how you get them involved in it, like I said, you're asking a coach, and I'm not trying to get out of the answering the question, but it's not my role to figure that one out. It's really not. My role is to continue to try to prepare our football team as well as our coaching staff to prepare to play. And when they decide for us to play, we'll play. And then that, we don't have to worry about that stuff. That's not, I got enough problems. I got 100 guys spread out all over California, Arizona, wherever they're at right now. And I got to worry about that. I got enough on my plate.
And maybe the perception is the NCAA hasn't, but, you know, we met as a Pac-12 group last week with the coaches and the athletic directors with the doctor from the NCAA, and he gave us feedback in terms of where they are. So they're in constant communication with our league and, you know, probably at a little bit higher up level, but they have spoken to us as coaches and athletic directors and told us kind of where they see it going. So, but again, we're not the ones making the decision. We're the ones, when you give us the marching orders, our plans are in place and we're ready to go. So we'll again wait for their guidance to tell us where we're going.
All right, Joe, sorry to cut you off there. Your line's back open if you wanted to follow up on that question.
Okay. Herm, you were able to start spring practices in late February and stuff. Just wondering what it was like to see Marvin Lewis back on the field and coaching the defense.
Yeah, a lot of fun. We go back over 30 years. His excitement for the game hasn't left him. And I think any coach that knows Marvin, great teacher. I mean, a great teacher. And it was just fun to watch him coach ball again. You know, he was a little bit of an analyst here last year, and he kind of walked around and just kind of, you know, studied things. And then this year he came in and really, I think the players have bought into what he wants to do, along with Antonio Pierce, our assistant head coach and coordinator. So it was a lot of fun watching him coach.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take one more question. We'll go to Reese Becker. Your line is open.
Thank you. Coaches, with all the information on social media and around everywhere, how hard has it been to disseminate the information and see what's important, what's not, and how have you deciphered the information with all of it out there?
Go ahead, Chip.
I'm not on social media.
Yeah, well,
I was trying to defer to you, Herm. I was waiting for you to come off. You should have just given him a reply.
I'm the guy that said, don't press
to win the game.
Remember, Chip, I'm the guy that said, don't press in. He's asking about those speeding to me. Are you kidding me? Oh, man. You got to be kidding me.
All I know is that from now on, myself, Herm, and Jonathan have to do every press conference together. So.
Hey, Jonathan.
Agree. Yeah, happening.
Me and Chip were on television a long time ago. Well, come on, man. What are we talking about on media? You kidding me? Oh, man. Stop it. I didn't have a cell phone until I started working for ESPN. I was only head coach and never had a cell phone.
But you were an author.
But I got our book. We got to get it right, man.
We got it.
It's not even a book.
It's a Bible. It is my coaching Bible right here.
I love it.
I don't know if that answered the question, but I just, whenever I get asked a tough question, I look in here and I get the answers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.